Buen Sabado and happy Sabbath to you all. I would like to begin this message, I would like to read from an article from the Daily Telegraph. And the article is entitled, Honesty Test, Lack of Integrity is Bad for the Economy, Scientists Conclude. This is written January 25th, 2012 by Martin Evans. And the article begins, according to the reporter's author, Professor Paul Whitesley, an increase in dishonesty is usually accompanied by an economic downturn. He writes, trust is important because it allows individuals to move beyond their own immediate family or communities and engage in cooperative activities with strangers. High level of trust in society helps save on what economists call transactions costs, the price people pay for doing business. In a trusting society, these costs are likely to be small, since if people give their word that they will do something, then generally they can't be expected to deliver on that promise. There is no need to draw up elaborate legal contracts to enforce agreements. In a non-trusting society, however, things are different, and enforcement mechanisms such as formal contracts and courts are required to ensure compliance. And these all make the cost of doing business higher. Clearly, integrity is essential to the building of trust. Empirical research suggests that societies in which trust and integrity are strong perform much better on the range of economic and political indicators than societies where they are weak. Professor Whitley also concludes that societies with greater degrees of trust sometimes enjoy better health and education, reduced crime, and higher levels of life satisfaction. He adds, the corollary of this is that low trust brings pathologies such as poverty, crime, ill health, and unemployment. More recent research shows that trust is equally important in Britain, so lack of integrity has serious consequences for our society. And the lack of integrity in man is nothing new. It's plagued societies for generations, sometimes with devastating results. The Great Wall of China is considered one of the 7 wonders of the world. It stretches over 4,000 miles. It was built to protect China from the barbaric hordes of the north. The designers of the wall made it so high that it could not be scaled, so thick that it could not be penetrated, so long that you couldn't go around it. In my research for this topic, sources noted that during the first 100 years of the wall's existence in China, China was successfully invaded 3 times without the wall being climbed or breached. So how did these invaders raid China? Well, the problem wasn't the wall. It was high, it was thick, it was long. However, there's a defect that the architects of the wall did not plan for. It was the gatekeepers. In each of these invasions, the barbarians simply bribed the gatekeepers, who then opened the gates, so the enemies just walked right through. The protection of the Great Wall was only as secure as the integrity of the gatekeepers. Last week, we heard a sermon about integrity and compassion, revolving around the book of Ruth. So for today's message, I would like to continue the discussion, and I want to focus specifically on the characteristic of integrity and the importance of integrity in our lives as we enter into the Feast of Pentecost. So what is integrity? We hear that term a lot. We know society wants people of integrity, and with the political climate these days, there's a question of anyone's integrity. So what is it? Well, integrity comes from the word integer. A person of integrity is whole. their lives are put together. Integrity is defined by Merriam-Webster's dictionary as follows: a firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic values, incorruptibility; an unimpaired condition, soundness; the quality or state of being complete or undivided, completeness; incorruptibility, soundness, completeness. Those are inherent in the definition of integrity. Synonyms for integrity include honesty, faithfulness, sincerity, innocence. It defines a mind that is free from dishonesty and deception. Integrity is living the highest standard on a code of morality that doesn't succumb to the whim of the moment or the dictates of the majority. People who have integrity live lives that are open books. They say, go ahead, look at my behavior. It will match my beliefs. My walk will match my talk. Who I am on the Sabbath is the same on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and the remaining days of the week. Integrity is so very important because it couples our thoughts and actions with our values. And integrity is just something that doesn't just happen. It requires a conscious, determined effort to live by a certain standard, a standard of truth, a standard of honesty. It is making the effort to integrate the core value of integrity into our daily actions. It is something we must decide that we desire and we want. We cannot just slip into integrity one day and just happen to become a person of integrity. And to live a life of integrity is important, and God places a very high value on integrity. Indeed, it's an integral part of the character we are to build in this life. Turn to Proverbs 28, verse 6. Proverbs 28, verse 6. Integrity is an integral part of the character we are to build in this life. Proverbs 28, verse 6. And I like to read from the English Standard Version for this. It states, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man crooked in his ways. Turn to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17. And I would like to read from the New Living Translation, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17. It states, I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. And when we think about it, Jesus Christ was the model of integrity. His life is evidenced with excellence in character. Even those who were against him acknowledged his integrity. Turn to Mark 12, verse 14, and I'll begin in verse 13. Mark 12, verse 14. Even those who were against Christ acknowledged his integrity. Mark 12, verse 14. It states in Mark 12, verse 14, then they sent him some of the Pharisees and Herodians to catch him in his words. And I'll read the first part of verse 14. When they had come, they said to him, teacher, we know you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way in God in truth. The New International Version translates, teacher, we know you are true, found in the New King James Version to, "Teacher, we know you are a man of integrity." And even at the conclusion of his life, as he stood here on this earth, and as he stood before Pilate, what did Pilate have to say about Jesus Christ? Luke 23, verse 4. Luke 23, verse 4. Luke 23, verse 4. It states in Luke 23, verse 4, "So Pilate said to the chief priests and to the crowd, 'I find no fault in this man.'" There was no basis for guilt, no evidence of fault found in Jesus Christ. In other words, his behavior matched his belief, his character matched his values. That's why Peter instructed all believers in 1 Peter 2:21, where it states, "For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." We are to follow Christ's steps, steps of integrity. Are we people of integrity? As we consider this topic, I think it would be good for us to consider the following questions. One, what are we like when no one else is around? Number two, how do we treat others who can't benefit us in some way? Number three, how sincere and transparent are we when dealing with others? Number four, are we the same person when we are with different people? For example, are we a different person at work as compared to when we come together on the Sabbath? Number five, are we the same person in public as in private? Number six, do we quickly admit to ourselves and others, including family members, especially our spouse, when we are wrong? Number seven, do we strive to do our best in all facets in our lives? Each of these seven questions revolve around integrity. How consistent, how transparent, how truthful we are. So how are we doing? Do the values we hold match our actions? Are we people of integrity? Integrity is a state of being complete, having our actions consistent throughout our lives. And the majority of the questions that we read revolve around the idea of consistency, that we are consistent in public and private. We are consistent at work and at the Sabbath in the way we treat people and the way we act, the hope that's within us. And consistency is a key component of integrity. In our daily walk with those we walk with, those that see us, those that interact with us, would they call us people of integrity? When we consider our journey in our life, we basically live in four distinct spheres of life and influence. First of all, we have our public life, don't we? That's our widest sphere of influence, where anyone and everyone who we meet with and interact with and have dealings with are touched with some impression of us throughout the course of the week. Either directly or maybe even indirectly, we make an impact. And this is our public persona. Then we have a closer group of people from this large group. It's more of those people who are involved in our professional life. And it's smaller than that of our public life. It consists of dozens of scores of men and women who we come into contact with weekly at the office or at school, at work, or in the civic or social arena. But then we even have a smaller group of people we deal with, and those are the interact with those people of our personal life. This describes the people in our small circle of family and a very close group of friends who really know us. They know our likes. They know our dislikes. They know what gives us joy, and they know what creates heartaches. And it's generally those who are our families and a few others that really know us, who we are truly are. And then finally, we even get smaller. We have our private life, don't we? There's a part of you and me where no one really else goes. Those closest to us, our husbands or our wives, do not know all of our private thoughts. In reality, no one lives in our private world but us individually and God, who truly knows us and searches the heart. So where is integrity rooted? Where does it spring from? Is it rooted in our public life, our professional life, our personal life? What about our private life? Now, some may think it's rooted in our public life, but in reality, integrity is only revealed there. Our actions are seen in public, by the public, and they only reveal the integrity we have or we don't have. Now, is it possible that integrity is rooted in our professional world, where many times we're put to the test whether we have integrity or not? In reality, it's not rooted there either. Again, our professional lives only reveal if we have integrity or not. Well, maybe it's rooted in our personal life, where we live in close and have close, intimate relationships with a very select, small group of people. But again, it's not rooted there either. It's rooted in our private life. It's where our innermost thoughts are, where we are alone with God. Once rooted in the private world, it flows outward to our personal, professional, and public world. And we can see this progression from private to personal to professional to public in Daniel 6. Turn to Daniel 6, verse 1. Daniel 6. Daniel 6, verse 1. It states in Daniel 6, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished him above all the governors and satraps because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Verse 3 notes that Daniel had an excellent spirit. Matthew Henry makes the following comment about verse 3. What a good man he was. An excellent spirit was in him. And he was faithful to every trust, dealt fairly between the sovereign and the subject, and took care that neither should be wronged. So there was no error or fault to be found in him. Gill's exposition on the entire Bible notes that an excellent spirit related to Daniel's knowledge of civil affairs and prudence of managing them and of integrity through the whole of his conduct. We can see that Daniel had an excellent spirit, the spirit of integrity, that was rooted in his private life and expanded to his personal and professional world. Let's go to verse 4. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Daniel was a man of integrity. He had an excellent spirit rooted in him, and that was reflected in his personal and his professional dealings. And it's interesting to note what was developing here in Daniel 6. There were those in competition with Daniel. The self-promoters, those who were protecting their own turf, became quite uncomfortable when someone with integrity came onto the scene. Thus, if we live a life of integrity, like Daniel lived a life of integrity, it doesn't mean it won't come without its criticism. We will obtain benefits by living a life of integrity, but it doesn't mean that everyone who interacts with us will appreciate it. We should not be surprised when people don't. But when we reflect on it, we need to think clearly as well. Could the reaction of others be based how we demonstrate integrity? That is, could we be coming across as self-righteous or arrogant? And the reaction of the others is not so much the fact that we're trying to do the right thing, but it's a reaction to the way we come across doing it. Integrity should be coupled with humility. Turn to Philippians 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. Now I'd like to read from the English Standard Version in Philippians 2, verse 1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than ourselves. When we demonstrate integrity, do we think of this? Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. How do we come across? In going back to Daniel, we saw his integrity was rooted in his private life, and it was shown in his personal and professional life. And eventually, Daniel's integrity was shown in his public life in Daniel 6, verses 11 to 28. And we know the story that the administrators of the land convinced the king to make a law that no one should make any prayers to God or anything else other than the king. And if one was caught not praying to only the king, he was to be thrown or she thrown in a den of lions. And Daniel was caught praying to God and thrown in the lion's den. And then we know the story that God protected Daniel. Daniel was thrust in the spotlight, in the public arena for everyone to see. Daniel's commitment to God was made public. It was not simply practiced behind closed doors. His commitment was something that, it was not something he compartmentalized in the Sabbath and then pushed aside from Sunday through Friday. Here was a man, not a preacher, but a civil servant, a business administrator. Because his integrity was rooted in his private life, it was now revealed to the public life for the kingdom to see. And as a result of Daniel's deliverance, a decree was made by Darius throughout the land for the whole public to see. It states in Daniel 6, verse 25, and I would like to read from the New Living Translation. It says, "Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves people. He performs miracles and signs and wonders in heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So why is integrity important in our lives? Is it really something we need? I'd like to cover three reasons why integrity is important. The first reason why integrity is important, it is the foundation of character. Integrity is the foundation of character. Integrity is the core value that enhances all of our other values. The quality of person we are is determined how well we live up to the values that are most important to us. Integrity is the quality that locks in our values and causes us to live consistently with them. In other words, integrity is the foundation of character we are building in this life. We know that we are to develop character in this life, and our character we build should reflect the mind of Christ. Paul tells us in several places, such as Philippians 2, verse 5, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, that we are to have and we must have the mind of Christ. This means we must internalize Christ's values, God's values and character within us. And having integrity, living that life, having our thoughts and actions be consistent with the values that Christ taught and lived by are the key. We can't live by values if we don't know what we believe in. These are values that no matter what the consequences are, we will not compromise on. So do we know the values we are to be striving for? Do we have values that we are not willing to compromise on? No matter what the consequence, no matter what the situation, we will not compromise on those values. And then I ask the question for all of us, including me, to consider, are those values consistent with God's word? Our compass, our Bible, defines our values. The question comes at its very core, how well do we know God's word? Are the values we building, are the integrity to those values we are demonstrating consistent with what's taught in God's word? If not, we are not building the character needed for a member of God's family. A second reason why integrity is important, it allows us to live a peaceful and confident life. It allows us to live a peaceful and confident life. When we live a life of integrity, life becomes simple, and we live in peace. It's an inner peace that we have. Our actions are open for everyone to see, and we don't have to be concerned about hiding anything, wondering if we're consistent in our speech or in our actions, wondering what we said before and how we do and how we cover things up. It simplifies our lives. Mark Twain once said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Proverbs 10 verse 9 says, a man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. And I like to read from the Benson commentary of Proverbs 10 verse 9, where it makes the following statement. He that walks uprightly, he who is sincere and just and faithful in his dealings with God toward men, walketh surely. In the Hebrew, shall walk secure or confidently, as the word properly signifies, quietly resting on God's favor and gracious providence for his protection, being supported by the testimony of a good conscience, and therefore not caring who observes or know his actions, which he endeavors to approve both to God and men. But he that perverts his ways, they that walk perversely or crooked in sinful paths, that act hypocritically and deceitfully with God or with men, shall be known. His wickedness shall be publicly discovered, And so he shall be exposed to all the shame and punishment which his sins deserves, and which he thought by his craft and subtlety to avoid. A third reason why integrity is important. Living a life of integrity builds trust. Living a life of integrity builds trust. When we walk with integrity and we live a life of integrity, we gain the trust of others. This is crucial with spouses, with families, in the workplace, in our communities, in our congregation. We appreciate those who are dependable, don't we? And accountable, that we can trust, that we know their word is good. Integrity inspires trust, and trust allows us to be one mind and not divided. Turn to Philippians 2, verse 2. Philippians 2, verse 2. Philippians 2, verse 2. It states, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind." We trust each other. We all have integrity. So how is integrity practiced in our lives? How do we build it and maintain it? Let's take a look at a few ways. This is not an exhaustive list that we can build and practice integrity of our lives. The first way to practice integrity in our daily lives is to avoid people or situations that can compromise our values. Avoid people or situations that can compromise our values. Turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. And I will read from the New Living Translation. It states, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even as they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." In living a life of integrity, we should avoid placing ourselves in compromising situation. As Peter notes, stay away, because these desires, these situations are at war with the character we are supposed to be building at this time, with the integrity based on God's values that we're supposed to demonstrate in our daily lives. Many times the situation that can compromise us is a result of those who we choose to associate with. And we can see many scriptures, and I'd like to go to three of them, that tell us the importance of wisely choosing who we associate with. Who are our friends? Turn to Proverbs 12, verse 26. Proverbs 12, verse 26. Proverbs 12, verse 26. It states in Proverbs 12, verse 26, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. We'll just turn probably a page there from the New Living Translation. "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble." And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, no need to turn there. "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." These are three scriptures that show us the absolute importance of having acquaintances, of having friends that share the same outlook and values that we do. If those whom we choose to associate are wise, Proverbs 13, verse 20 tells us it will cause us become wise. Iron sharpens iron. We'll actually benefit from the friends we choose to make us better. If we choose to associate with those who are destructive, who do not have our values, well, our character will, not maybe, will be corrupted, and we'll lose sight of our values. In light of these scriptures, I'd like to read from an article entitled, Success Will Come and Go, But Integrity Is Forever, and from Forbes Online by Amy Reese Anderson. If I could teach only one value to live by, it would be this. Success will come and go, but integrity is forever. Integrity means doing the right thing at all times and in all circumstances, whether or not anyone is watching. It takes having the courage to do the right thing, no matter what the consequences will be. Building a reputation of integrity takes years, but it only takes a second to lose. So never allow yourself to do anything that would damage your integrity. A word of advice to those who are striving for a reputation of integrity. Avoid those who are not trustworthy. Do not do business with them. Do not associate with them. Do not make excuses for them. Do not allow yourself to get enticed into believing that while they may be dishonest with others, they would never be dishonest with me. If someone is dishonest in any aspect of his life, you can be guaranteed he will be dishonest in many aspects of his life. You cannot dismiss even those little acts of dishonesty, such as a person who takes two newspapers from the stand when they pay for only one. After all, if a person cannot be trusted in the simplest manners of honesty, then how can they possibly be trusted to uphold a lengthy and complex business contract? It is important to realize that others pay attention to those you have chosen to associate with, and they will inevitably judge your character by the character of your friends. Why is that? It is best explained by a quote my father often says when he's reminding me to be careful of the company I'm keeping. When you lie down with dogs, you get fleas. Inevitably, we become more and more like the people we surround ourselves with day by day. If we surround ourselves with people who are dishonest and are willing to cut corners to get ahead, then surely we find ourselves following a pattern of enduring their behavior, then accepting their behavior, and then finally adopting their behavior. If you want to build a reputation of a person of integrity, then surround yourself with people of integrity. A second way of practicing integrity in our daily lives, strive for excellence in all we do. Even in the small things. Strive for excellence in all we do, and even in the mundane, the routine, and the small things. In keeping with the biblical goal of spiritual growth and greater levels of maturity, we often find in Scripture that the call to abound or excel in Christian character. Spiritual maturity is a quest for character, for which is little progress without the pursuit of excellence. Without pursuing excellence, life becomes bland, mundane, and we will stagnate or become lukewarm at best. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. We're familiar with this scripture. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom from the grave where you are going. The words, whatever your hands find to do, point to the importance of doing the best, the very best, in everything we do. Not just the big things. not just the things where people notice, but in all things, whether it's in public or whether in private. The mark of a person with high integrity is that they always strive for the highest quality of work in everything they do. They are people who strive for excellence, no matter what they take on. People with integrity realize that what they do is a statement about them as a person. God's people with integrity realize that they are a living reflection of Christ with them, within them, of being a light. And being a light, of being a person of integrity, even the small things, is not only for the public, not only in our professional lives, not only with our friends or people in our congregation, but even with our families. In light of this, I found a powerful quote that relates to the importance of living life of integrity with our families by H. Jackson Brown Jr. Live so when your children think of fairness, caring, and integrity, they think of you. Do they? A third way to practice integrity in our daily lives, when we face adversity, seek God and seek others of like mind. A third way to practice integrity in our daily lives, when we face adversity, seek God and seek others of like mind. One of the greatest tests of integrity is how we respond to adversity. Nothing reveals a character of an individual when they are challenged. That's one of the reasons why God allows it. When we go through challenges, when we go through difficulties, when we go through trials, how we react reveals what's in us, what we are like, what comprises our character. And we can learn from it. Each and every one can learn from how we react to adversity. Joel Osteen made the following statement about adversity. When you face adversity, you need to remind yourselves that whatever is trying to defeat you could be very well what God is using to promote you. It's not easy facing adversity. There is no sugarcoating that I can give you about adversity. Adversity is hard. Adversity is tough. It takes a toll mentally, physically, emotionally, and sometimes spiritually on us. That's when these times we need to remind ourselves of Psalm 50, verse 15. Psalm 50, verse 15. In times of adversity, and they are tough, we need to remember what is said in Psalm 50, verse 15. Psalm 50, verse 15. It says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." When we're facing adversity, our emotions, our fears can become so powerful that we just try to do it alone. We just bunch up within ourselves and we can forget God. And then we begin to think that God has forgotten us. We need to remind ourselves during those hard and difficult times to call upon God, to ask for wisdom, to ask for strength, to ask for courage. And in addition, during challenging times, we may forget that those who love us, our families, we become distant and self-absorbed in the situation we find ourselves. And then what do? We lash out when they try to reach out and help, rather than seeking their comfort and their help. And also we can forget in times of adversity, those of God's family who can help us. There are those in God's family, those in this room who've been through challenges and trials, maybe ones we're going through right now. We should seek them out. And to those who are sought out, we should help. Turn to Hebrews 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 25. And I like to read from the New Living Translation, Hebrews 10, verse 25. And we mainly reflect on this scripture on meeting on Sabbath, but it's about meeting whenever we can. It states in Hebrews 10, verse 25, "Let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but what? Encourage one another, especially now that the day is drawing near." Indeed, God's family should be an incredible and a great source of encouragement when we're facing adversity. Indeed, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, Paul tells the Thessalonians to encourage one another and build each other up. We should be willing to seek out, and we should be also willing to give encouragement for one another as we face challenging times. It is a great resource for all of us. It's a great blessing from God, one another. In today's message, we reviewed the definition of integrity, that integrity requires a conscious, determined effort to live by a certain standard, a standard of truth, a standard of honesty. We reviewed that God places a very high value on integrity. We reviewed that integrity has its roots in our private lives, and it's revealed in our personal, professional, and public lives. We reviewed why integrity is important. It's the foundation of character. It provides us an inner peace. It builds trust. And finally, we reviewed how we can practice integrity in our lives, avoiding people or situations that compromise our values, striving for excellence in all we do, even in the small things. And when we are faced with adversity, with regarding living our lives in a godly manner, we seek God, we seek our family, and we seek those of God's family for encouragement. Developing character, building integrity, depends on doing the right things right now. Whether we realize it or not, we're constantly working on a legacy and creating a reputation for ourselves every day, in our public, in our professional, and in our personal lives. What we do now sets the future up for the better or for the worse, based on the character we are building, the integrity we demonstrate. Living a life of integrity is a huge commitment. When we commit to a life of integrity, of living life to the highest values, we will find that by living this life, we will be continually raising our own standards and refining the definition of integrity. Indeed, our life should be a journey of integrity. As was quoted earlier in this message, building a reputation of integrity takes years, but it only takes seconds to lose. We need to guard our reputation. We need to act with integrity at all times, no matter how big or how small the situation, because one's reputation for integrity, once compromised, takes so very much effort and time to repair. We need to treasure the value of integrity in our lives. I would like to conclude this message with a quote from Charles Simmons, a British lecturer, journalist, and politician, regarding the importance of integrity in our lives. "Integrity is the first step to true greatness. Men love to praise but are slow to practice it. To maintain it in high places costs self-denial. In all places, liable to opposition, but its end is glorious, and the universe will yet do it homage."